Yeah, if we start adding sound effects and like, wah, 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 wah. <Yee-haw, yee-haw. laughs> like those terrible shock jocks.
All right. Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
And I'm Maria, and this is season 6, episode 10 of Sticky Pickles. We made it to 10. Kids today and high standards.
Yeah,
yours is kids today, exclamation. Kids today!
Like more like kids today. How do you rate that?
What's the matter with kids today?
Yeah, exactly.
Kids today. Yeah, like that. Gosh. The children's. All right, so, Curl, what's up with kids? What is the matter with kids today?
Okay, this is a doozy, okay? So. Dick, Richard, but Dick to his friends, Dick lives with his partner, Barb, and their five-year-old in a U.S. college town, okay?
Okay.
And the reason they choose to live in a college town is because they can go see their favorite bands, chow down at their favorite corner eateries, you know, meet friends for coffee in the park, whatever. It's, you know, it's living. It's nice living in a sweet college town.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, you live in one. I live in one. There's some nice things about it.
Yeah, adjacent. Yeah, I guess I actually do live in one technically, but yeah.
But there's a downside to living in a college town, and that's house prices, right? They're steep.
Yes. They're very steep.
Yeah. And so even though Dick has a successful job in engineering and Barb works as well, they live in a two-bed condo, right? With strip of grass for a garden.
Well, yeah.
It's what we'd call snug.
Yes.
Boutique.
Cozy.
Fiji.
Cozy. Yeah. Cozy house.
Now, anywho, trouble started for Dick and Barb when the next door condo was rented out to some college students.
Oh, no.
Now, this isn't a first time this has happened. Dick has lived next to students before. You know, he's had the loud ones and the sweaty, or autocorrect there, sweary ones.
The sweaty ones.
They're the worst. sweary ones, the musicy ones who play their instruments in the wee hours, you know, the partiers, the fighters, the weed smokers.
Yep. I have lived next to all of those people who are often the same person at the same time. Yep.
I was a bit of a dick as a student because I liked parties and I liked hanging out. And I think I was probably quite loud and probably drove people crazy. So apologies if any of you are listening. I'm sorry for my behavior.
And they had your number since then and they've been following you and waiting for this apology. They finally got it. You can be at peace.
One can only hope. Yeah. So this new situation is that his neighbor students, it seems, are all nudists. And Dick?
Dick has a problem with nudes.
Dick knows this.
Dick knows nudes.
He heard one of them go out. And because he was out there, you know, tending to his seedlings, right? And he looks through a gap in his fence and he sees this placid penis bobbing up and down as the guy put up his washing.
A placid penis.
A flaccid penis. Did I say placid?
You did.
It's written placid as well. You
know, I actually kind of prefer placid penis.
Placid, flaccid penis.
Yeah, placid. Like, oh, okay. Very peaceful penis.
Yeah.
It's a non-aggro genitalia. Got it. Okay.
Chilled out, relaxed.
She's having a nice day.
Yeah, not needing attention, not needing any, you
it's
know.
Just there. Got it.
Just there, just hanging.
It's very placid.
I love we discovered this. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah. Thank you, autocorrect. This is great.
So yeah, I have no idea. I wrote this about 15 minutes before we got on, so there may be more. Let's see how we go.
Okay.
Okay. So Dick can't freaking believe his eyes, right? He's like staring at this thing. And then he hears a female voice and out pop two female students. Buck naked. Dick could feel like he just turns his face away right away and turns red. And the girls are like saying, hey, laundry guy, do you want some grilled cheese and baked beans for lunch? And like Dick's going, who hangs laundry in the nude? Who grills a grilled cheese in the buff?
Yeah.
Kids today.
Yeah. The laundry is whatever. The grilled cheese, though, that's like cooking bacon nude. Like you are risking a whole lot.
I know, but sometimes it's fun. Like it's a little edgy. No? A little edgy.
To cook a grilled cheese naked?
Yeah, frying naked is without any coverage is kind of tantamount to idiocy.
Or like,
I'd agree.
Stirring a tomato sauce naked.
Oh God, tomato sauce is so hot. Yeah. It's so it burns away.
Burns,
it?
Burns. Plup, 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 plup. Yeah,
yeah.
On your dangly danglies, not so great. okay.
So yeah, so Barb, right, comes home from work and she finds Dick staple gunning tea towels to the fence. And
a normal thing to do.
Right. And she's like, what? He's like, he tells her, you know, everything that he spied that afternoon in the middle of the day. Right. And before we get to Barb's reaction, what would you do at this stage if you're Barb? So you get home and dude says, Flaccid Placid was out.
Yeah. You know, I actually kind of live in a similar situation. I'm not even joking. Yeah, I have a neighbor who likes to wander around indoors, though, very naked. And we live in a neighborhood where houses are very close together. And, you know, at night, when if you don't have your shades down, everybody outside can see in, right?
If your lights are on and yeah.
If your lights are on in your house and you don't have the shades drawn or anything like that, everybody can see into your house what's going on. And within a week of moving into the house that I've now been in for about a decade, I found out that my next door neighbor likes to wander around his house butt naked.
I think that would be like my dream come true, I think.
People should do whatever they want in their own houses, right? I mean, it's their house. If you can't wander around naked in your own house, I mean, you know.
But with the lights on, the curtains open,
I'm talking about like the front living room facing the street next to the, yeah. Yeah, like if you're peeping into somebody's bedroom, then you deserve whatever you see. But if I'm just like walking down the sidewalk and you just are just noticing somebody's front window and you're like, oh, that person is totally nude.
That's a nice muff.
Yeah. You're like, wasn't expecting to see that, but okay. I mean, it's their own house.
So with your expert opinion, then
I just mind my own business, which is not a very funny thing.
Yeah, but you just kind of go look the other way.
Yeah, no, I don't really give a shit about naked people. I mean, I don't wander around naked, but I don't really care if they're having sex outdoors in plain view of a kid. I'd be like, okay, but they're just being naked. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Barb is kind of, I think, in your camp here, because to Dick's horror, Barb laughs and says, oh, good for them. They're not hurting anyone. You know, who cares?
Yeah.
But Dick can't take it. He's like, except our daughter. She could be traumatized. I may have to report them to the cops, he says. And Barb rolls her eyes, right? Because he does get big, you know, dramatic during these situations.
In the States, in some places, that is illegal. It depends on where you live. Being naked outdoors can be illegal in some places. Yeah, I've actually. Yeah, there are some laws. Even if it's your own property, if you're outdoors, like the cops will be like, you can't be naked outside. But it varies wildly depending on where you live and also local cultural mores. So, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Barb just kind of rolls her eyes. She's kind of thinking, look, some college kids are wandering around their own garden.
Yeah.
Right. With it all out on show. It's not like they're doing sexy things, to your point.
Yeah.
Right? They're just sorting out lunch and getting on with daily tasks like laundry. Like, who cares?
There's nothing less sexy than just a person being an ordinary dude naked. Can I tell you a little anecdote in addition to the one I told you earlier? So growing up, every once in a while, my family, we would go to Greece to visit my family there. And there were naked tourists on the beach all the time, which as an American kid was like, what? But it was the fastest thing to get me over any weird American social mores. I keep using that word, but just like people were, it just was so unsexy and unscandalous to see like just normal people being naked. I don't know.
Well, I had to set this in the US because I think there is, in my experience too, I think people are a little bit more,
for sure,
a bit more edgy in the States than it would be here in Europe. Maybe England, it would be edgy as well.
Oh yeah. 100%. Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So that's what Barb thinks. But what she says is, oh, you're such a prude. Okay. And so Dick's kind of annoyed. He's like, forget it, you know. And I kind of feel for both of them because they're kind of on opposite sides here, right? So she sees this as an, like, who cares? They're just nude.
It's not pleasant, right? Like, if you don't want to see a naked person when you're going about your business, you're just like, oh, that is annoying.
But there is a fence. There is a fence. Like, you have to kind of align yourself in the, you know, the gap. Like, you can see it if you choose to.
What would you say if it was like they had a hot tub in their backyard with a privacy fence and you happen to see them naked getting to their hot tub? It's like, well, you were looking.
Getting it on.
Well, or just getting into the tub, not even for sexy time.
Just literally getting in. Sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah, no, sex doesn't have to happen in the hot tub or the champagne room, wherever. Like, just getting into a hot tub. Naked.
Are you listening to this, Mom? Are you listening?
It's okay, Mom. All right? People can be naked.
So our man Dick here waits for Barb to go to work. Because Dick realized last night that if he's going to report them for doing this, he needs evidence of their not safe for kids behavior. So he's decided to set up a stool very, very close to the shared fence. With his cell phone in hand, the plan, get some evidence that they're running around in the buff.
Yeah, that's icky. That's all kind of icky.
And these are students, right? Like, I don't think his intentions are icky.
Buddy, mind your own business. I don't see why, like, why is he making it? He's making this into a problem. Yeah, he's got a, what's the phrase? Something stuck in his craw. He's got a something up his bum. Yeah.
So Barb here would not agree with this at all, right? But she doesn't know. She's at work, right? He's doing this on his own.
He needs a hobby.
And so he's waiting. He's waiting there, right? He's waiting by the fence. And 20 minutes, you know, into his stakeout, the moment comes. The guy comes out, pulls out a chaise lounge, right? And settles down to enjoy some rays in the buff. Of course, in the buff.
I hope he's got sunscreen on.
a carefully placed newspaper, perhaps. And
Yes.
And Dick takes, you know, Dick steals the chance to grab a snap.
Of a dick.
Of a man with his dick out, I guess. Flaccid out.
Flaccid.
And the problem is that Dick's phone is kind of fancy and but dumb, and it's not silent. So the photo app makes like a loud
yeah.
Right? Kind of like an old Instamac or Insta photo type thing.
Yeah. Yep. I know the sound.
And it scares Dick, right? Because he was trying so hard to be like quiet. So he falls backwards.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. And he impales himself on a rake.
And then, of course, Dick hears, hey, you okay? From the other side of the fence.
Oh no. Dingle dangles.
And he's like, yeah, thank you. Yep. I was just taking pictures of my flowers and I tripped and fell. Everything's fine. And he's like, are you sure though? Do you need help getting up?
Do I need to give you mouth to mouth?
He's like, I can jump this fence, no problem.
Yes, I can definitely clear this fence.
I'm a student.
Everything's still pretty taut and perky. And not too droopy. Getting stuck on the chain.
So if I swap the tables on you, Maria, and you're now Dick lying there, right?
No, I'm not. I'm not Dick lying there. I would never be Dick.
You're lying
there.
You're lying on the ground, right? You're lying like a flaccid Dick.
Say I got what I deserve.
With a lovely neighbor offering you help, and you need this help. Okay, you need this help. Someone to help you get up. You're in
no,
a,
I don't.
In a sitch.
I don't need that help. I'm staying there all afternoon into the evening if needed.
I'm having a sleep.
I'm staying there, and I will die there if I need to. This is where they will find my desiccated corpse because I got what I deserved. And in no way am I letting my neighbor know I was spying on them and taking pictures of them while they're in the nude in the privacy of their own fenced in backyard. I would rather literally die.
Enjoying hanging out with their flaccid
just placid. Stare up at the sky and contemplate your life choices that brought you to that point, honestly.
I'm grateful to him because without these kind of people, where would Sticky Pickles be?
And these people 100% exist. I am just not one of them. But, you know, I get some people would be offended or unhappy with a naked neighbor. But at the same time, like if they're doing what they got to do to maintain privacy, if you're snooping, you're snooping. And that guy, he's dick be snooping.
Well, he wasn't trying to snoop. He was trying to get evidence, but
that's snooping. It was
sticky. It's a sticky dilemma. It's a
mind,
sticky
mind
dilemma.
Your business.
He wanted a picture of a pickle.
No, that's getting a desk slam for me. No.
All right, Maria. Your story, High Standards. Tell me all about it.
We have a Marsha, and Marsha grew up in like abject poverty, never enough to eat. Family always stressed about money, like not money was tight, but literally we don't have enough money to survive and things are really dire. So she ends up emigrating with her family as a late teenager, early young adult for her university years to Canada. And she becomes like a hardworking, stereotypical success story of somebody who knows how hard it can be if you don't have resources and an education. And she zooms through university and she is a top student, high marks in a really difficult competitive field. And she's like a very desirable graduate. Her pick of good jobs. She's a big success story. In other words, Marsha's great, super smart.
Like she's one of those rare people that somehow managed to surf the system because it seems like it's so hard to break through.
Yes,
those kind of barriers, and being able to do it is kind of like fuck.
It's like a nigh miracle, and she's one of the people who manages to do it. And so she understands how important it is to work super hard to keep your head above water. So she's now out of university. She's in a very high paying job and she works super hard. She understands like long hours. She's not afraid of it. She understands travel. She's not afraid of that. She also comes from a very stereotypically patriarchally conservative family / society. It's not just the society and her nationality, her home nationality. It's also her immediate family who are all kind of on her case, like, hey, you're 23. Why haven't you popped out 5 babies yet? Speaking from experience on that one, it's like, oh, well, I was studying like I was supposed to be doing to, you know.
I was using condoms.
Yeah. Like babies? What are you doing? It's kind of not a priority right now. But she is, as she's going through her early 20s, thinking like, yeah, I think I would like to get married. I think I would like a husband and maybe one day a family, but I think I would like to get married. So in her culture, a lot of times family will set you up. That's not unusual still in a lot of parts of the world. So she kind of lets that happen. She lets one of her aunties be her matchmaker.
Can I ask if that ever happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, God, yes. I remember, this is going to be a little depressing for me, but I'll tell you anyway. The last conversation I had with my namesake, my grandmother, who I am named after, her last words to me were, before I die, you've got to get married. And she died like a couple months later and I wasn't married. I wasn't even dating.
Oh, what stress though.
She was just sitting there with her hands on her lap. Like, you know how, you know, when you're just being very prim and proper. My grandmother was very proper. Hands on her lap, sort of staring at a sunset. And we're both just like looking at the same sunset, waiting for like a ride to arrive or something. We were leaving a baby shower and she didn't even look at me. She just kind of kept staring at the sunset and she just said it to me in Greek. And it was like, I'm not fluent in Greek, but I understood that 100%. Before I die, you've got to get married. And that never happened. I'd married after she died. There were definitely some attempts to set me up with eligible Greek men, which I rebuffed with great vigor because I did not want to date a Greek man. Anyway, not about me. It's about Marcia. So she lets her auntie set her up on some dates. Dates is not even the right word. Introductions. Like, these nice young men come by and auntie says, oh, here's this guy. Here are his prospects. Here's his resume. Here's his bio data for those.
Yeah, I've made some lovely sticky buns and some tea. It's going to be fantastic.
And you two get to know each other. And
that must be so awkward. God.
Of course. But everybody knows what it is. So it's like awkward for everybody. But it's not like Marcia's being ambushed and doesn't know what this is about. It's not like the men don't know what this is about. It's just sort of expected. Like, everybody knows that's what this is. It's a getting to know you to see if there's any magic there.
Yeah.
But there's no magic there.
Right.
Every single time Marcia goes, you know what? These guys are nice. And yeah, they fit the criteria of like my shared ethnicity. So shared cultural values and traditions. They don't seem to really value education. They don't really understand hard work, at least to the degree that I define it. And they certainly don't earn enough money.
Okay. Interesting that last week you had a story about a woman who made too much money, remember? And she had trouble finding love as well.
Money.
Yeah,
money causes money. Well, can't help it. It's tax season right now in the United States. So I've been thinking, yep. what can I say? Just did my taxes last weekend.
We're doing ours too. It's fun times.
Oh, fun times. So auntie brings by a new guy and auntie has prepped this guy. She has vetted him, but she has also prepped him. She's like, I really want this to work. And his name is Dennis. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, you know, and Dennis is like a quiet guy who has not had much luck with the ladies. But he's very, very intelligent, very much a believer in education, not the highest earner because he's still at the beginning of his career, but you know, there's a lot of potential there. Really not a slick ladies man, kind of the opposite in every match.
Is he hot? Is he good looking?
No. No, he is not. But, you know, not everybody can be a 10 out of 10 on that one, right?
No, but is Marcia... Okay, we'll have to wait for Marcia to meet him. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but the key thing with Dennis is he is extremely confident in his own intelligence. He's like, you know, I may not be a Chad, but the most stunningly looking man, but I am definitely a smart, smart dude. And when you've got good brains in your head, you can accomplish a lot of things in this world. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally, totally.
One might even say that Dennis is a wee bit arrogant about his intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
But he's heard a lot about this Marcia, and he actually really wants to impress her because he's like, listen, it's hard for me to find a woman in our ethnicity who's also very smart and can kind of keep up with a man like me.
Yeah, they're going to be perfect for each other. This is fantastic.
Yeah. So auntie introduces Marcia and Dennis, and Marcia, sort of similar reaction to what you just said of, is he good looking? I mean, you know, he's fine. And, you know, she's not a model either. So she's like, listen, it's enough. It's criteria there is okay.
She's attracted to him. Would that be fair?
She's not attracted to
him. Fair. Okay. I totally understand. I think all our listeners know exactly what you mean there. Yep.
Like neutral.
Yep.
I think both of them physically are neutral on each other,
mm-hmm.
but it's the brains that matter, right? It's the brains.
Mm-hmm. They have that in common. Yeah.
They do have that in common. They hit it off conversationally. You know, Marcia's asking polite questions about Dennis's work and his research in grad school. And, you know, Dennis is asking Marcia nice questions about the valuation of her, of the business she's working for and, you know, what their plan is for a successful exit and other phrases, business speak and the like, you know, stuff like that.
Sounds so fun.
It's great. And it's sort of like a tennis match where each of them is trying to one-up the other. But Dennis is finding that he's actually really starting to like Marcia, like her, not just like. But
right.
Like
okay. Because she's smart. Yeah.
She's smart. And, you know, when she smiles, there's kind of like a little radiance behind the smile. And it's nice. At one point, you know, after a couple hours of chatting have happened and, you know, auntie is sitting in the other room listening in and she's got a little self-satisfied grin like, oh, this is going really well. Everything else would have ended by now, but they're still talking. And on occasion, there's a laugh. So that's a good sign. At one point, Dennis realizes the wine is hitting and he's got to excuse himself. And he's feeling really good about himself and asks, you know, he gets up and asks Auntie, where's the restroom, please, Auntie? And Auntie directs him. The really comfortable, luxurious one is upstairs. And that's got like the brand new Japanese washlet toilet with all the bells and whistles. That's the one you want to use. And we wouldn't normally let you use it, but you seem to be getting on well. So make yourself at home, son. Go for it.
I have never used one of those. Never had the opportunity. Not that I wouldn't, you know, I would happily try, you know, wash your butt
in front.
Yeah.
they are lovely. I have one and I enjoy it a great deal. But there is a downside to this amazing technology.
Uh-oh, okay.
Even for the most intelligent amongst us. Uh-huh. Dennis excuses himself and uses the bathroom. And he, you know, toilet is flushed and he decides to check out the remote on the wall. And there's about 8 different buttons with cryptic diagrams.
Hieroglyphics.
Yeah, that's basically it. And he realizes after a certain point, he, for the life of him, cannot figure out how to turn the damn thing off. And it is spouting fountains of water. Now, this man
like, literally? Oh, it's like to clean your butt. Like there's water kind of fountaining up.
Oh, yeah.
From the loo.
Yeah. It's a bidet, right? It's a bidet.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are bells and whistles to make it like an Uber bidet. But that it is just jets of water shooting up your rear end. I mean,
that's what it is.
That's what it is. It's what it does. But Dennis, like you, had never used one before. He'd heard of them. But he's there in the bathroom going, you know, I have a graduate degree and I cannot figure out how to turn off a toilet.
Is this because it's fucking smart? Is that why? Because it's a smart device or something? Like, surely there'd be a knob in the old school ones. There'd be like, turn it on.
Yeah, we're not turning this into the security podcast people think we are. No. It's this is not a... It's not an internet of butts. It's there is no Wi-Fi connectivity. No, his washlet did not get hacked.
But it has a remote control.
There is a little remote control. It just uses our radio frequencies or something. Nothing. No Wi-Fi. I'm trying to be like, nobody got hacked. There was no ransomware on his toilet. There's no hacker angle here. The man can.
I'm holding your poop for ransom.
You know, next time I'm on Smashing, that is probably going to be a story that I'm sure will actually happen. It is just, you know, the man has a graduate degree and he cannot figure out how to turn off a toilet. There's nothing really more complicated than that. He's looking around like he can't even get up off the toilet because if he does, the jet of water just goes and it starts soaking the walls.
Uh-huh.
Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything, but this man is like, listen, if I could at least like quickly maneuver to slam the lid down, I could maybe make my way to the water shut off valve behind the toilet, but he can't.
No, it's a really horrible situation because you're like trying to make a good impression. You're a little bit smug and you have a bathroom drama.
Yeah, and it's not even like he clogged the toilet and can just go, you know, shit happened. It's he can't figure out how to turn off a toilet. So, all right, you're Dennis. You've got a jet of water streaming up your bum, and it's getting colder because the water heating, I can't even say it, the water heating tank is running out. So you are now using cold water shooting at your bunghole.
Yeah.
You cannot.
And he's not moving. He's not getting off the seat because there is no lid. And if he gets off, it's going to shoot all over the bathroom.
It's not a little trickle. This is a very powerful jet stream of water. And he's pressed all the buttons that he has seen on that remote and nothing is working.
Okay. Okay.
And he doesn't want to disappoint Marcia. He's been all like, I'm Mr. Intelligent. I have a graduate degree in a very impressive STEM field. And obviously, I'm extremely intelligent and you should marry me. And I can't figure out how to turn off the toilet.
What do I do?
What do you do? What do you do? What do you do?
Do I have the contact details for Auntie? Because I might text her a little SOS. Now, in my experience, those that are of a older generation tend not to monitor their phones as closely as the kids.
Unless they're playing Candy Crush.
Right. Exactly. So it may be that that goes unheeded for a while.
The opposite could happen of Auntie going, "Marcia, Dennis is stuck on the toilet. How do you turn the thing off?" Which is more what Dennis is worried about, if it is predicament being broadcast.
That's when we had our camel toe episode. There was the broadcasting issue.
Discretion is not a given.
Oh, memories. Okay, so or he could go, Auntie, please come quickly. Right? And try and deal with it on the QT with her then. He doesn't have many choices. What can he do? Like, he's going to run out the window, bolt out the house, just let the bathroom flood?
Call it a day?
Do a runner?
And to make matters worse, his phone, unlike many of us who may, and I'm not naming names, but may bring their phone into the toilet with them.
Obvious.
I'm not saying people do that, but I've heard that people sometimes use their phone on the toilet. You know, that's a thing that some folks do. He didn't do that. So he actually can't even text an SOS.
Okay, so he needs to shout, right? He needs to shout.
He needs to shout or come up with a very creative solution.
If he's fucking so smart, like, why doesn't he rip the shower curtain off and make a kind of like little bubble in the bidet with the shower curtain so that it all goes back in and then go downstairs and go, how's this thing work? It's going nuts.
You are suggesting a MacGyver solution for this.
Well,
that is actually awesome. And honestly, I bet if
or the bin
that,
or the or bin
or the bin,
right?
If he did either of those things, probably Marcia would be very impressed.
If he's
that's,
smart,
that's ingenuity. He's smart. And he figured out a solution, right? Yeah. So what he ends up doing is none of those things. He does just kind of dive very quickly. He's still sitting on the toilet, and he's twisting himself. I'm moving from the mic because I'm doing it myself. He's twisting himself, looking for that water shut off valve behind the toilet, and he spots it. So. Does a little mental model in his head. If I dive off the toilet and just make a run for it and just grab that handle and just yank it as fast as I can.
I know. I love the logistics. Yeah. You really think about them and you're like, this can work. This can work. I can do this.
Yes. And so jumps off the toilet and he dives. He kind of twists himself around and dives for it. And he does manage to turn the valve off. So the water eventually goes, bloo! But what he didn't realize is as he was diving for it, the jet got him across the back. So now his entire backside is wet. And he has to explain that to Marcia.
Is he like that Seinfeld character that takes off his shirt when he has a poop? What's his name again? George. Maybe his jacket. Was he wearing it like a little dapper jacket and he hung it in the back on the hook of the back of the door?
Maybe he could just be like, listen, my sport coat got a little poop on it. I need to
Yeah, but no one has a pee. No one, like, if he's washing his butt, okay. Hey, what is he doing shitting at the ants? Like, on the first date, who does that? Who does that?
Well, what if he should have held his poo as sort of a
yes!
poo etiquette? It's a pee-only situation.
Honestly, if I were on a first date and the guy's like, do you mind? And he runs upstairs and has a dump. I don't know, man. That wouldn't turn me on. What?
So, okay. We need to compile like a rule. Like we've done enough of episodes about dating and etiquette that we need to start compiling like an unofficial or official rule book.
We need to write a book.
And one of them, we need to be like, do not poop on the first date. Just hold it. Because
just
you could
hold it.
You could get yourself into a situation, clearly.
That's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Get off your butts and review.
Make sure you know how to turn off the toilet before you get off your butt and review. You can review us while on the toilet, though. That I won't tell anybody. This story lovingly inspired by my husband, who texted me an SOS when he also could not figure out how to turn off the toilet. Thankfully, we're married, so he didn't have to impress me anymore. Anyway.
Oh, high five, Eric.
High five, Eric. And you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/stickypickles. We've got some new people who've subscribed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All your support helps us pay for hosting.
Yes, love you guys.
Yeah, it costs money to do a podcast, so thank you for your support. We really appreciate it. And we are thinking of ideas aside from our apparently unofficial dating rules book. And as always, you can find us on social media. We're at Sticky Pickles on Twitter, at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. And we are hashtag Sticky Pickles if you're on the Fediverse, if you use Mastodon or any of that stuff. That's where it's usually me tooting about it. So, and anything else you can always find on stickypickles.com. Dude.
See you soon. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Bye.
Anyone who's bidetting their butts for more than a minute, you're perverts. That's all I'm saying. Called it.